Welcome back to the Stepping Up podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Gingrich, and I'm just so excited because today I get to interview an amazing woman who I have only known for the past few months, but I feel like we've actually known each other for a lifetime. And we'll dive into all of that. But I want to introduce Stephanie Danielle. She is the energetic matchmaker. Yes, it is as magical as it sounds. She is an experienced relationship coach and spiritual teacher who works exclusively with universal laws, soul contracts, the energy of love, and quantum manifestation to help her soul clients create immediate and positive paradigm shifts in their relationship reality. Oh my gosh, so amazing. She is now accepting applications for her group coaching experience, the Quantum Dating Method. And this program is highly recommended for the single, successful, spiritual mom. And we will dive into all of this beauty, all of this amazingness. But first, Stephanie, just give us a brief intro of you, of who you are, where you are right now, how life is going. Tell us.
Well, first, Nikki, thank you so much for having me on your show today. I feel the same way as you. Yes, we've only known each other for a few months, but I feel like our souls have been friends for lifetimes. So I just feel like it's just such an honor and privilege always to connect with other moms and entrepreneurs and, you know, just people who know how to hold a space for sacred friendship. So thank you for having me on. And life is good. Life is what we created to be, right? So I've created craziness. I have a new pandemic puppy. I have two beautiful boys who are back to school after a snowstorm. And I just feel very grateful to serve the way I do and do the work that I do. And most importantly, that the work that I do with others forces me to stay in integrity with myself. So much of the work that I do is about my inner work and still doing my shadow work and still doing my work to, so that my clients always feel that I know how to deeply understand what they're going through, that translates.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. So tell me how you got into being an energetic matchmaker. How did this all come to be for you? And really, what does that actually mean?
So being the energetic matchmaker means that I teach people how to become a vibrational match for what it is that they want. And my area of expertise is really about love, not just romantic love, because my spiritual gifts allow me to see every vantage point from a perspective of love. So whether it is somebody having a challenge with their spouse, or somebody having a challenge with their singleness, or somebody having a challenge with a friendship, my eyes show me solutions through the eyes of love. But matchmaking, really, because I've worked as a consultant for a boutique matchmaking company for the past 10 years. I've logged over 16,000 hours, one-on-one private sessions. And I just came into this world with a spiritual knowing that I've stayed connected to. So really, the energetic matchmaker combines all of my expertise, professional trainings, and then just my spiritual knowing that I came into this world with.
Ah, I love that. That's so amazing. It's beautiful. And that focus on love and, you know, 16,000 hours, you know, they say it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert. So let's say you are an expert in this and tell me a little bit about, and I know so much spiritually that this is what you feel your purpose is. So let's dive in there a little bit, because I think there's so much beauty in that. So dive into about how you know that this is your spiritual knowing and this is what you're supposed to be doing.
So it starts out as a darker story, right? Because so much of my spiritual connection, you know, usually when we are taught that we have five senses and only five senses, we start to shut down our spiritual senses, our non-physical senses. And so around that time, and again, this is a bit of a trigger warning, I was molested by my father, and my only way of dealing with that was checking out of my body and staying connected to the invisible support systems that were available to me. So when that was happening, and I'm going to say this, and I feel like this is also a bit of a trigger warning, right? When that was happening for me, not to me, because I deeply believe, and as someone who has called in just a lot of darkness and a lot of pain, you know, that even that relationship with my father was based on a soul contract. And, you know, even though he did the unthinkable and what we would say is the worst thing that a child should ever have to go through in a lifetime, I actually credit him and as a soul for my spiritual evolution, right? Because when that was happening to me in my physical body, I was up and out. And that's when I was with my angels. And that's when I was with my guides. And that's when I was getting trained by ascended masters. And that's when I was connecting with my galactic family. And that connection stayed so strong and so true that, I have grown to trust the non-physical world more than the illusion of this physical world. And while I don't at all condone what my father has done or the family dynamics, and I don't have any connection at all to any member from my family of origin, I have reached a place of forgiveness where I really do understand that there's nothing to forgive, because if that did not happen, I would not be who I am today, and I would not be on purpose the way that I am. I wouldn't have compassion the way that I do for people. And again, that trauma still pushes me to do my inner work, because I want to break the generational wounds for my two boys.
Oh my gosh. So much power in that. And Let's dive in, if you're okay with this, if
anything, yes.
Oh, I'd love it. Those challenging pieces when something happens and we say, this is happening for me, not to me. And almost speaking to somebody who's in the middle of that and saying, how do I say this is for me when I'm living it and it's really hard to get to that point?
Yes. So the way that I frame it is based on soul contracts, that we make contracts that are based on our growth and our healing and our advancement before we incarnate. So in between incarnations, we make these agreements with other souls. Now, there's, because we have our free will, there's lots of potentialities about how these agreements can play out. But the overall lesson is there, no matter what. So for me, for example, my soul contract with my father could have been, again, and not connected to the identities, right? So not connected to me as the daughter in this lifetime and him as the father in this lifetime, soul to soul. The agreement was, I am going to come into your life and make sure that you stay on purpose. I'm going to come into your life and make sure that you maintain your spiritual knowing, that you remember more than you forget. Because when we do incarnate and we do come down into this physical reality, the agreement is that we're going to forget to remember. So when it comes to a soul contract, it is all happening for us. When we see it through the eyes of a soul contract, we could see that it is happening for us, that we called in this lesson for our growth, for our healing, for our advancement. And it takes away that personal, you know, you did this to me. And it allows us to view it from a vantage point of how is this happening for me? What is the lesson here for me? How is this soul helping me? And it is definitely a flipping of the scripts, but there's a tremendous amount of freedom in that. And then I also want to couple that with saying that, again, even if they're doing something for us, as physical beings, we still have free will and we still should have boundaries. So it doesn't mean that we should just accept treatment that doesn't feel okay. You know, we should not accept, my personal belief is, you know, we should not accept people deliberately hurting us or deliberately going against us, that we should all aspire to be in safe and loving relationships. But it is just to say that every person who is coming into our life, who we call in as the creators of our reality, are here for us.
That's amazing, Stephanie. And I think the last piece, I mean, I want to talk about soul contracts, but before, because I think I want to learn more about them. And I know, yes, I love hearing you talk about them because they just fascinate me. But before we do that, let's talk about this keeping our boundaries and things that we've called in. If we realize as physical beings, like, okay, I've called this in, this thing that I didn't want to happen to me, my boundaries were crossed in some way or something happened. Okay, there's a lesson here for me. How do I now shift and pivot that to say, I no longer want to call this in, and now I want to call something else in? To really, for me, I look at it as just finding that clarity of like, well, this is what I don't want. Now I need to focus on what I do want to have.
Yes. So that's exactly it. So the awareness. So if we have the foundation that says, I am going to live my life taking radical responsibility, I'm going to live my life knowing that I am calling in all of these experiences for my growth. When I experience something that I don't like, I'm going to use it as an opportunity to pivot. I'm going to use it as an opportunity for clarity. And then the beautiful thing about that is that when we make a different choice, the universe literally rearranges itself around that choice. So let's just say you're having something with somebody and your boundaries are crossed and you reach that point of clarity and you say, you know what, this doesn't serve me anymore. I choose differently. Okay. Now the whole universe is going to rearrange itself around that choice. And so two things actually can happen with that person. Okay. The first is that person can go away, which means that the lesson has been learned, the advancement has been integrated. Or the other thing that happens is because that contract has now been neutralized, that person can step forward into your life in a new dynamic. So it's really the possibilities are endless. But yes, it is about knowing that when something's happening that you don't like, you should change it. You should use it as an opportunity to say, this does not serve me. And the other beautiful thing is if it doesn't serve you, it also doesn't serve them.
Wow, that last line. Oh my gosh. If it's not serving you, it's not serving them either. Gosh, I love that. And I love the idea of saying, I love the phrase of the universe rearranges things, because I get this visual of literally like a puzzle piece and all of the pieces of the puzzle are now shifting and moving. So that's like the visual that comes into my mind. You shift and the universe is like, okay, so this is going to go here and this is going to go here. And we're going to create a whole brand new picture from what we have right here and move all the pieces around.
And that's why manifestation takes time.
Yes. Yes.
Because there's lots of moving parts in that puzzle and lots of moving pieces.
Absolutely. And the one thing that I think is so cool about manifestation is there is that delay. And I remind myself of this as often as I can of, if something's still showing up in my mind, that's just a past thought that's now coming to life. It's a past thought that I thought, and now it's coming to life. And now I can say, okay, I no longer am thinking this way. I just need to keep shifting and pivoting and choosing differently. And eventually those manifestations, that universe is going to rearrange itself. So the manifestation shows up in my life, how I, because the manifestation is always coming. but I want to be able to be the one that create it and say, this is what I want.
Yes. I love that. Yes.
Awesome.
And that sense of it's, walking upstairs as you are going through that manifestation process and just focusing on the fact. And what I love about what you just said is, I am staying connected to the creator within, that that you're creating your reality and that it just takes time for the universe to rearrange itself to match you. But what I love about that is how you are identifying with the creator.
Yeah. And that's what it is. It's that constant connection for me. And I think it's something I've always had, but being consciously aware of saying, nope, there's a higher power. There's something, whatever anybody wants to call it, God, universe, source, inner being, whatever it is,
yes.
Whatever physical name we decide to give it, doesn't matter. There's something greater than us that's saying, I got you. Just keep going. We're going to do this. You're here for a reason.
Yes.
I've given you these desires. So I love to tell clients, like, you have a desire on your heart. It's not there by mistake.
Yes.
It's there because you're supposed to desire it. So let's shift a little bit, because I really want to talk about soul contracts and people being connected and just really, really diving in. I don't have any specific questions, so I'm just going to hand it over to you and say, let's just chat about soul contracts, what they are, what they mean.
Yeah. So a soul contract is an agreement that we make with another soul in between incarnations before we get here. And these agreements are based on mutual advancement. So these relationships are complementary. They serve both souls. And they are here for our greatest good. So it's almost like a matchmaking game before we get here. And the reason why I always want people to feel hope is because all soul contracts are actualized. So you can't not meet your soulmate. You can't. You can't not meet your soul friends. You can't not meet your soul family, because it was all designed for our advancement before we got here. It's really about the wisdom of our being, the wisdom of our souls. And it's all about the lessons that we are looking to learn that help us break patterns, help us break karmic cycles, and help us advance.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So if there's, and I love this idea of the soul contract isn't just your soulmate, your partner, however you want to look at it. It's soul friendships, it's soul relationships, it's just that those connections with other people. So if we're talking to the single successful spiritual mom, right? That's who your new program is for. And looking at making that connection, let's dive in there a little bit and saying, you're working with a client, she's looking for her match. What questions do you ask? What do you try to pull out from them? What experiences are you trying to let them have?
So the first thing I want them to have is hope. I want them to have hope that, like, similar to what you teach your clients, exactly what you teach your clients, that they would never be given the feeling in their heart, the knowing in their heart, the desire in their heart to have this experience if that experience did not already exist. Their work and our work is becoming a vibrational match for that experience. So in a lot of ways, it is an emptying. And in a lot of ways, it is a reminding. We go through the patterns that repeat. That's a huge part of this process. We go through their past relationships and we neutralize karma, because again, we called in those relationships, soul to soul, those relationships were here to help us advance and they were preparing us for the one. And then I just really want these women to understand that the time before your soulmate comes into your life is the gift that they're giving you. They're giving you this time and they're giving you this space to prepare for them. And especially as moms, I mean, you and I both know, and you and I are both married, and you and I both have supportive husbands. So, you know, being a single parent, and being responsible for, you know, navigating souls that you are, again, that, you know, that came into this world through you. And those are soul contracts too, by the way, just like gorgeous, gorgeous soul contracts, the contracts that we have with our kids, and even the contracts that, you know, again, for single women who are looking to bring children into this world. I have a lot of clients who are worried about that. And it's, again, it's that same idea. You would never be given that feeling in your heart that you are destined to be a mom if there was not a soul waiting to come into this world through you. So it's really about trust, and it's really about hope, and it's really about remembering these universal laws that guide our life, whether we're conscious of them or not.
Yeah, I've had chills basically the whole time you've been talking. So one thing that came up for me, because I have a few single friends, I've got, you know, a friend of mine who's going through like a very ugly divorce, like all these little pieces that kind of come together. And like you said, I'm very blessed. Like I have met my soulmate. We are married. We've got two little boys, you know, so I'm very blessed in that way, that that has been what my life has looked like. So if I look at some of my friends and who are single or who are struggling or who have kind of in a space of like, I might as well just give up because it's never going to happen. Right. Because we get to that point, whether it's looking for a mate or looking for something or the right job. And we just go, you know what? It's just not worth it. I give up. Is there a chance that they're going to miss these contracts, these soul contracts, these soulmates, if they're not paying attention?
Right. So you can't miss something that is meant for you. Okay. You cannot miss it. But when we look at this, you know, I'm just giving up, that's not actually the worst thing, because what I hear is that they're giving up on the way that they thought it should happen for them. And that is actually the energy of surrender. So if they are in that space, I would push them to go further to the point where they let go, right? Because that is the universe nudging them to let go, right? It didn't happen in the time you thought it should. It didn't happen in the way that you thought it should. It didn't happen when you believed that you needed it the most. But again, here's the gift. Somebody not giving you what you think you need from them is them giving you the gift of yourself. So when we are looking at this and we are that energy of desperation, you know, the partner would make it better. You know, that actually is pushing the partner further away, because love does not enable, you know, love does not support that type of codependency. Life does not, that type of relationship doesn't complete us. So it's not that we're being punished. It's just that the universe is saying, you know, if we were to give you that partnership now, one, you're not a match for it, because you're reaching out from that place of lack. You're reaching out from that place of suffering. You're reaching out from that place of struggle. So let's use this, I'm about to give up, as a step in the right direction, because the invitation is to let go of the attachment to all the details. And then let's just say, you know, okay, so regroup, restart, reset. I am here. I am single. You know, what do I need to learn? What do I need to be, do, and have to become in alignment with my soul partner? And then that's the soul partner's first gift to you, that journey. And that's why I created this group, because the journey to get to the one is so sacred. And so many of us do it alone.
Yeah. Oh. And what's the power in doing this when you're not, like, as a group? Because you do. You feel alone. You feel like everyone else has someone else. Like, these are the things that I hear from my good friends. They're like, well, I just see everybody else all happy, and I'm just over here like, okay, whatever. And we shouldn't do these things alone. I mean, I'm an extroverted person, so I love people. I've always been gravitated toward people. So if you're someone who's introverted who tends to just say, I'd rather just be alone, what is the power in doing this with community and connecting with other people as you're kind of going through this process?
The opportunity to be seen and to be accounted for, even if you don't feel called to participate, even if you don't feel called to share, just to know that a space is held for you to be accounted for so that you could no longer say, I'm alone.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Okay, let's, because I know you're super knowledgeable on the universal laws, and we've touched on a few of them here, you know, talking about manifestation and law of attraction and becoming a vibrational match. And of course, we can't go into all of the universal laws, but I know you have some stuff coming out where people can learn more about them. But how can we begin? Where is the power in understanding the universal laws? And if you want to touch on any ones that are like calling to you saying, this is the one I want to share about.
So the power in universal laws is that they exist, whether we work with them or not. Mm-hmm. So my thinking is, why not understand them and work with them and activate them and play with them in our lives, since they are affecting our lives, again, whether we're consciously engaging with them or not. So to me, it just kind of feels like a playground where you get to have this fun dialogue with the universe and then see what happens in your actual physical life as a result.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So how do people start to tap in? And I love this of saying not just the universal laws, but really, I think I want to use the word like using their imagination and
yes,
visualizing the life that they want. And then you said it, like just having fun on the playground and then seeing what the physical world can bring to us. Where can people start to really tap into that part of themselves?
I think exactly what you just said. It's the universe is always inviting us, right? Because it's here and these laws are happening around us. So it's just the intention that says like, I want to go on the playground today too. Like, I want to do this. Like, this is how I want to have fun today. So the first thing is intention.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is to understand, like you and I are talking about it from a very playful place, right? But there are no requirements to participate. So it's like, you could still use this if you're having a bad day. You could still use this if you're not in the mood to be playful. You could use this if you're introverted or extroverted. Like, you don't need a specific approach. You know, you've basically been invited to the universal party, and it's just a matter of RSVPing and saying, yes, you know, count me in. I want to do this. I want to learn this. I want to experience this. And so the first place that I would just start is understanding and accepting that there are these laws that govern our physical reality, whether we consciously participate in them or not. Yeah. And I think that, you know, there are so, like, we talked about the law of attraction, we talked about the law of vibration, and I feel like those are very popular because they are so connected to manifestation. And I feel like also, you know, the pandemic and the lockdowns have really created a lot of communities where people are coming online and speaking about their truths and speaking about their spiritual experiences and really speaking about connection. But the law, I feel like, that really helps me the most is that the foundational law for me is the universal law of divine oneness. And it basically has two points to it. The first point is that we are the creator of our reality. So right off the bat, it puts us in a position of empowerment. It invites us to take radical responsibility for every aspect of our life. And it gives us hope, because if we don't like something that's happening in our lives, as the creator, we can change what's happening in our lives by choosing differently.
I love that. And you said it earlier, I mean, we talk about having hope. And I believe when people understand that they are the creators and they can do these things, and you start to say, oh, I don't have to just deal with what's been given to me. I can take control, and yes, I can say what I want. And once I realized that for myself, I was like, oh crap, anything is possible. Like, let's do this thing, you know? And it really brings this sense of it, that sense of empowerment. There's really no other word for me to kind of think of describing it. Is there anything else you wanted to say about that? I didn't know if I cut you off.
No, you didn't cut me off. Okay. No, and just the other piece of, I know you and I are just like so much energy because we're just so excited. I want this conversation to go on forever. So the only other piece about that is just also, it just reminds us that we're not alone, that every other soul is a mirror reflection of us. So to me, that's my favorite, because it just, for me, it's the foundation. It's the law that all the other laws are built upon. And I feel like it's a very solid, again, foundation for this work, because all it's really saying is, yes, you create your reality. If you don't like what you're creating, you can change what you're creating, and you're not alone.
So much beauty, so much beauty in all of this. Okay, I want to touch on spiritual connection, because you said it, you shared about it. I mean, it's just kind of this thing. So if there's, and I look at someone who's really just starting to connect and really starting to be on the brink of like, okay, I'm more than this bag of bones that is my body, this physical being. There's spiritual connection, and you talked about it with your trauma, like how you went and you talked to the angels, and for a lot of people, when they start having this conversation, they're like, it's kind of weird, but yes, then when you experience it, you're like, it's beautiful and it's amazing, and it's really helping somebody make that connection. Like, how do you do that, where you help somebody say, just have that connection with their spiritual being?
I think that connection starts as a connection within the self, right? Because the beautiful thing about our angels and our guides, and I should preface this by, you know, I go to therapy once a week to make sure that I'm not crazy, right? Because I have, you know, I am aware, you know, even with my husband, you know, he doesn't believe in angels. He thinks it's absolutely nuts. You know, he doesn't believe in energy. And our first conversation, he was like, Stephanie, I am never going to meditate with you. You know, I'm never going to go on a retreat with you. I'm never going to read a self-help book with you. I don't believe in angels. I'll never be a vegetarian with you. And I was just like, I can marry this guy, you know, like he is just like my rock on earth, you know, and he lets me fly out wherever I need to. And then I just come back to this like safe, consistent, steady person. But so I just want to preface this by saying, you know, I am deeply aware of how out there this can sound and how out there this can feel and how overwhelming it could be and how scary it could be. So I just want to say that I get it. But the other thing that I just want to say is that, you know, whether we're talking about angels or guides or ascended masters or, you know, our galactic family or any non-physical, right, support system, any invisible support system, any member of our light team, they are respectful of our boundaries. That's how you know that they are supporting you, because they will never step in unless you ask. They will never cross a boundary. From their vantage point, they know what your boundaries are. They are respectful of them. They would never cross them, and they would never do anything to debilitate you and move you away from your purpose. So, and I just feel like that's such an important piece, right? Because I do feel like when we do start on a spiritual journey, there's all this information and there's people who teach us, like, I could teach you to connect with this. I could teach you to connect with that. And that's amazing. And it could also feel really scary, right? Because then we hear, like, have good boundaries. Don't let in the dark beings, you know, don't follow a false light. Like, don't do this, don't do that. So it can be really confusing. And what I could say is that my knowingness of all of these, you know, all of the members on my light team and the way that light teams work is that they are there as a supportive, loving presence. They would never do anything to scare you. They would never do anything to throw you off your track.
Yeah. My gosh. And it is, it's amazing. And I love that your husband's like, I don't understand anything about this. I'm never going to do it, but we're good. It's fine. You go do you, I'll do me. We'll be fine together. And I think my husband does, he's similar in a way. So he does meditate and he does read personal development books. So we have conversations on that sense. But when it comes to the energy and all those pieces and all of this kind of stuff, he's like, nope, I'm good. I'm just going to stick to my meditation and reading my books and all that stuff. So I think that's beautiful to understand, to kind of go back to that, finding your soulmate and having that soul contract and saying, it doesn't have to be somebody who's exactly like you.
I think that is such an important point. You know, that differences are good.
Yeah.
You know, that differences are good. And that, again, it's just a willingness to accept and respect other people's boundaries, you know, and it has come up a lot for us. You know, that we have very different thoughts about COVID. We have very different thoughts about masks. We have very different thoughts about vaccinations. We have very different thoughts about everything. And it really does force both of us to reconcile those differences in a harmonious way. And I've learned a lot from him and he's learned a lot from me. And yeah, that's the beauty in it. But even working with a matchmaking company, which is not based, you know, it's a physical, you know, like, matchmaking company. There's no spiritual talk. There's no energy talk. It's just like straight matchmaking. You know, we match from the inside out. You know, we match based on values and interests and lifestyle and relationship goals. And a lot of times, you know, what we think we need and who we think we want is very different than what we actually need and what we actually want.
Yeah. So how do people begin to decipher that of, I'm saying this is what I want, but am I missing the boat because it's not coming true for me?
So most people say what they think that they want, either one, because they've watched like too much life porn, right? Like you have like the Instagram world and you have like the commercial world and like everybody's showing you what like relationships look like and everybody's showing you what happy, beautiful, sparkly life is supposed to look like. And there's that disconnect between, you know, how it actually looks and how it is. But what I have found is that most people want what they want from a place of lack. They think that they want certain things because they lack it within themselves. And so let's say a more introverted person thinks that they want a more extroverted person to complement them. Mm-hmm. And really we end up doing a collapse around that, because when you see yourself as whole and you then think about what you bring to a relationship, you are then able to see it from a vantage point of who would be my match, not who's going to compliment me. So it really starts with self. It really starts with the understanding that you shouldn't be asking for something that you don't bring. So let's look at what you bring to a relationship and let that be the starting point. So you reach out from wholeness instead of from, you know, my life would be complete if he was like this since I'm like this.
Yeah. Or really coming from a place of saying my life is complete.
Yes.
And then another person would simply just be, I can't think of the word, of like icing on the cake of like, but my life is complete. It's just, this is something that would be awesome, but I don't need it.
Yes.
I just allow it to come into my life and be.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Cause it all starts with self.
Yes.
And I think we, so many people in society, and we just in general are just constantly looking outside of ourselves for that validation of this job will make me happy. This person will make me happy. This money will make me happy. But we never look in and say, why can't I be happy now? And what would make me happy right here and right now?
Yes. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, and thank God for the work that you do, right? Because that's what you're teaching everybody how to do. Just really connect back to themselves in an authentic way and get grounded in their beingness and manage their energy as they go throughout their day and as they go throughout their lives. I mean, that's, yes, your work is such a gift
because
that's
thank you.
What you're teaching people.
Yeah. And that's what the mission is. And I think you said it when we first started talking about becoming a vibrational match. Well, if you want to be a vibrational match for somebody else, you've got to be that match. You can't be the unhappy, sad, like lacking, kind of in that lack mentality if you're looking for abundance. You've got to be in abundance to connect with abundance. That's law of attraction, like attracts like. You know, you've got to be that match. And I think there's just so much beauty in understanding all of this and not saying you need to understand everything from day one. And really just filling in the little pieces and saying, let me take a little bit of this and apply it. Let me take a little bit of this and then apply it. And then once I get that down, okay, let me learn a little bit something else. So I think let's chat to end here. And then I want you to share all about your program, but just this place of, because we're coming from, the two of us sitting here talking is coming from very high energy, very high vibration. We're very positive. We're very excited. So if that, you know, when you're in that space of working with the dark side and working with the shadows and really not feeling good and saying, I've got to work through all of that to get to where I need to be. And it's hard to really just say, well, fake it till you make it, because that's so much easier said than done. So can you chat a little bit or tell us a little bit about kind of being in those spaces that aren't so pretty, that don't fill us up and saying, but I've got to keep moving forward, doing something.
Yes. So when I was, I studied in seminary to become a licensed spiritual counselor in the state of New York. And we had our choice about what energies we wanted to do our thesis on. And my classmates, all of them, were choosing really high vibrational energies. You know, they were choosing love and light and peace. And I was like, sign me up for death and darkness, you know, like sacred death, sacred darkness.
Yes.
And the reason why was because I really wanted to have a love affair with those energies. I really wanted to, and not only because I had so much darkness that I called in to understand myself better, but I always wanted the people I was called to serve or the people that were called to work with me to feel like I knew how to go into their darkest, scariest, rock bottom, most hopeless place and hang out there with them until they found their light and we could walk out together. I really just wanted somebody to never feel alone when they would feel the most alone. And so I think that these energies are gorgeous. I think, you know, we start in sacred darkness. We start in the womb, you know, that's sacredly dark, you know, and just how there's unravelings before uplevelings, there's endings before new beginnings. And that's really the energy of sacred death. So to me, they're so interchangeable where, death is life and life is death. Light is dark and dark is light. And they're both supportive. But what I would say is that if you're already vibrating at this lower frequency because circumstances are really challenging, it takes a lot less effort to go down into something. If we're talking about energy management, it takes a lot less effort if you're already low, if you're already down, to go down and then through, than to try to lift yourself up out of it.
Yeah.
So the goal is that both are available to you, both lead you to where you need to go. It's usually the resistance, right? It's that like, I want to be a high vibe person. I don't want to be, you know, dark, you know, I want to feel happy. I don't want to be sad. It's the resistance to going there that often creates the challenge. So let's just go there and let's just move through it. And then I also feel like, you know, when we're talking about raising the collective vibration, you know, one of us doing our shadow work does literally change the landscape of the human collective. So I kind of look at it too, like it's, I have a personal responsibility if I am a conscious human being here to do my shadow work, because I know that me integrating my shadow is then helping to invite all of humanity to do that too. So I do it for me and then it translates to the world.
That's beautiful. And I just wrote down the note of, you know, we resist the darkness, but if we move through, if we go into it, no matter which way we go, we're going to get to the light. But it's ironically, because it doesn't sound like it, but it's going to be easier to go into the darkness to get to the light.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is just so opposite of what, you know, so many people do, because we try to avoid what doesn't make us feel good. Except when we avoid it, it just continues to grow and get bigger and bigger.
Yes. Yeah. And then, I mean, how lucky are our kids too, right? That we are teaching them and we know how to hold a space for them. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's also healing generational wounds, you know, back to like just talking about conscious parenting, you know, that when my boys are angry or they're sad or they're frustrated or they are just like, we go into it.
Yeah.
I want them to be as comfortable managing that as they are managing the joy that they feel and the excitement that they feel and the happiness that they feel. I want to equip them with both.
Yeah. And they're so blessed to have you to do that. And I know that's something I'm working, you know, with my boys on. I mean, we both have boys. They're practically the same age.
Yes, I know.
They're so close in age.
That's our soul connection. Yeah.
I love it. But it's like letting them be angry, letting them be upset. And they are our greatest teachers. Like they're our greatest teachers. Being a parent is, I never knew what being a parent would do to me. Do you know what I mean?
Like
how much I would grow from it.
Goosebumps and tears. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
It changes you, because through them we grow. And then as we grow, we can help them. And then, like you said, we break down those walls and we allow them to then take with them what they learned from us to take it into the next generation. And, you know, as someone who grew up not being able to cry or not being able to be angry and being able to just suck it up and move on, to say to them, you know, when the almost 6-year-old wants to scream and cry, just go and get it out. If you need to vocally scream and then in 5 minutes you're going to feel better, then just scream and just, he will. He'll stand there and he'll just scream.
Yes.
And it's funny, because then I have to do the work on me to allow that to happen without having my anger show up.
Yes.
So there's just all of these balances as a parent, as we grow and we learn and we do our work and we do our healing, to also do the work with our kids. Like there's just all of this stuff is stirring up and moving around, and we're just in this constant flow of growth and expansion and learning and moving forward and all of this stuff. I just think it's so amazing and so beautiful. And watching hearing from you and knowing how you connect and how you use the work that you do with your kids, like it inspires me and it helps me take the work that I'm doing and translate that over to my kids and seeing things in a different light. So I appreciate you for doing that and for being able to share that with other people, with me and with others. I just think it's amazing. So thank you for that.
Yes, and thank you, right? Because that's the gift of, you know, the community that we've created. And that's the gift, one of the many gifts of our connection, right? That, you know, we do this work on ourselves and our children are bearing witness. And then it's about, you know, we don't have the luxury of like checking out. We don't have the luxury of being, you know, debilitated without these little eyes, you know, watching and feeling and, you know, again, just bearing witness. And so, you know, too, when I am deep into my shadow, you know, I often do soul to soul communications with them. And I will say to them, you know, mommy is really struggling right now. And it'll get to the point where, you know, Ari, my 3-year-old, will say, you know, take a deep breath, mommy. And Justin will be like, do you need to punch a pillow? Do you need to do this? Like, do you need to scream? Like, do you need to make animal noise? You know, like that they are, you know, that they are not uncomfortable with me being uncomfortable, and that we work together as a team to figure out what the best solution is in that moment.
It's, I have no words, Stephanie, because it's just so beautiful and amazing. Like there are no words, which is very rare for me. There are no words, but I just want to thank you so much for coming on, for sharing, for being so open and so authentic. And as we close, I know you have your program coming out. So I want to give you a chance to really share what that is, share what that's going to be about, and then how people can connect with you and work with you and hear your message.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much again, just for being you, for living your purpose so beautifully, for being my friends, and for being an inspiration to me. Being on your show today was a privilege, and I just feel very honored and grateful. So, and always just love to connect with you. So, like, any day or time, like, this is amazing. But yeah, so as far as, Friday night, tomorrow night, I am hosting a free masterclass on how to use online dating as an accelerator for calling in your soulmate, really how to use online dating to accelerate the manifestation process. And it's not what you think, right? Because it's really using the platform to activate universal laws. So I'm super excited about that. And that's a free masterclass. And then starting on Valentine's Day, I will be facilitating this group coaching experience called the Quantum Dating Method. And that is going to be a combination of videos and journaling exercises and live coaching to help people, to really not just people, to help single, spiritual, successful women call in their soul partner. And that group really summarizes all of my work, all of my personal growth, all of my personal healing to this date. Spiritual knowing is just literally a comprehensive program. And I'm just really excited for these women. I'm excited for them to have this community. And I'm excited to have them have company as they go through this journey of manifestation.
That's amazing. And I'm just so excited for you. So what is the best way for people to connect with you?
So the best way to connect with me is on Instagram. I am Quantum Love Coach.
Awesome. And I will put all of the links down in the show notes. And I'm just so grateful for you, Stephanie. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Sending you so much love.
Yes.